The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
I really want to fight this big, scary guy, Francis Ngannou. Let's give those people a real show.
A star is born tonight. His name, Jairzinho Rozenstruik.
All you top five guys out there, you can't run no more. Come in here and get some. Gaethje, Tony, Connor, I don't care who you are.
How about in Abu Dhabi, your co-main event winner, the Irish Dragon, Paul Felder.
All right, welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I are still separate. Matt still is not shaven. I'm very used to it right now. And we have, we'll make sure I say his name right, Jairzinho Rozenstruik. We never talked to him before. I don't believe he's been on. And we also have Paul Felder returning to the show, who we both love a lot. Now, Matt, what did you want to begin with? Because we have a lot of ground to cover. May 9th, the fight is in Florida. It's been talked about already. What was it you wanted to cover?
Well, let me tell you, the fight, I'm excited for the card. The card's insane. The card is insane, and we're going to get into that. But there's news. There's something that happened that is pretty epic. Did you see Brett Okamoto singing Fight Island?
No. That's the news?
It's not news. No. It's not that. To me, it's news. But listen, we're not going to get sued. We have to play the song. All right? So right now, our producers are getting that song for us. Okay? Go to his Instagram. I don't have to direct these people. They know what to do. And get the Brett Okamoto's Fight Island song. You don't ask for permission. We're not getting in trouble. He's a UFC guy. Play that freaking... Did you hear it, Jimmy?
I did not. I don't even know what song that is.
Well, Jimmy, listen. Just picture this. Picture this. Brett Okamoto. You pronounce his last name for me, so I make sure I say it right.
Okamoto.
That's what I say. Okamoto.
Yeah.
I used to say Okamoto, and I was wrong.
But I did too. It's understandable.
We got that right. Yeah. So it's Brett Okamoto. I'm pretty sure hat backwards. He has a hat on, sunglasses, playing a banjo, and just singing the song. I think it's Fight Island.
Okay.
Well, ready?
Yep.
Play it, Antonio.
It's another weekend with no fights to watch, no accidental eye pokes, or kicks to the crotch. The days are getting longer, if you know what I mean. When will this boredom end, this damn quarantine? And I'm starting to think there's only one thing to keep me from whining. Uncle Dana told me about it, and he better not be lying.
The mindset that nothing is impossible.
Cause if this shit ain't real, you're gonna see your boy crying. You know what I'm talking about. I need Fight Island.
All right. Jimmy, thoughts? Yes. Thoughts on Fight Island? Right, Brett Okamoto.
I'll say this. Brett Okamoto, who's a very, very good sports guy, is crazier than I thought.
Come on, man.
Brett is nuts.
Listen.
But I say this. He put some work into that. And it sounds, again, this is a very bad I would have to hear it on my phone. But it sounds like he might be able to sing a little. But I don't want to commit to that in case I hear it and then it sounds terrible. I would have to hear it again. It's I'm hearing it, like listen, you said, through a well.
Hey, listen. I'm no expert. But I expect Brett Okamoto's getting waves coming at him. And he's not a surfer. All right, listen to me. Yeah, Brett Okamoto. I think it's great for him. No?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would have to hear
that. Don't you wish you could grab a banjo like that and just start fucking playing it? We would look ridiculous. Both of us.
Yeah, we would. We would look like fools, Matt. We would look like fools.
Two guys I know that could pull that off. One of them, what you just seen. The other one might be Ray Longo.
Why? Can he play?
Oh, you put a fucking banjo in that guy's hand. Not a banjo. A fucking guitar or something. You know, he's... I don't know any famous guitarist. He's not the next Jimi Hendrix, but he's fucking, you know... He could do a fucking little thing or two.
We want to make sure we're saying it properly. It's Jarzinho, correct?
Jarzinho, yes, sir.
Okay, good. Where are you now? You already in Florida?
Yes, I'm Florida.
Now, when you went down there, were you a little concerned about you know, being around other fighters or being in camp? Or how have you handled this whole thing?
I'm always concerned, but the gym, AT&T, American Top Team, fixed group for us. And we can train several times. So my time is like 10 o'clock in the morning. I can train 45 minutes, go out, and other fighters go in. So we're kind of good.
Do you like, I'm sorry, Jimmy, how, like, being in quarantine training, that could be a good thing because you don't want to go out anyway. It keeps people from doing some bad things, going to rest. There's no restaurants to go to right now. Out partying, it keeps you in. How do you look at it with the quarantine? Is it, do you look at it quite like that or?
For me, that's the normal way we do our camp. When I'm in fight camp, the only thing I do mostly is like maybe go to the movie.
Mm.
It's not like partying or going to restaurants. Can be, but we just eat clean. We don't go out. We stay at home. But if you want to go out, going to the movies, and that's for us, like going out.
How did you feel during the your last fight was Overeem, which you won, I mean, literally with less than 10 seconds left. How did you feel going into the fifth round? Because Overeem seemed like he was ahead. He was doing very well. And what was your thoughts going into the fifth round of that fight?
My corner gave me the kick in the ass. Like, hey, if we don't put him out, you're gonna lose the fight. So, was a lot of things going through my mind. Put the pressure trying to find an opening. And yeah, and then the 10 seconds, my corner screamed at me the last 15 seconds, and then I heard the clock. Like, pa, pa, pa. So I know it's the last 10 seconds. And I put the pressure, and yeah, he let his guard down. Put the uppercut, right hook, and put him down.
Now, how did you know? Did you know he was KO'd? You did the old Mark Hunt walk-off, where he was done before the referee jumped in, you walked off. And, you know, that might have won you the fight if that referee was a little more hesitant. So what was going through your mind? You just felt he was done no matter what? Because you seen his lip or you didn't see his lip or?
I saw his lip. But for me, I saw in his eye also he went down. And the way he went down, I don't know how he survived to get up. But I think as soon as he hit the ground, he woke up and then he bounced up. And if you see in the video also, he doesn't come at me. He walked to the other side. So I see in his eyes he was really down.
And you've been in the UFC, I guess. What your first fight in the UFC was Albini in February of 2019, so a little over a year. And people already, you and Francis, are saying that this should be some type of an interim heavyweight fight. You've really kind of rocketed up. Are you surprised at how fast things have, your name has been mentioned in the top five guys?
Yes and no. I've been in this division now, and the only thing I want to do is reset it, and I want to get to the top no matter what. So it's gonna be now. It's not tomorrow. So get there and put the interim title. We know the heavyweight division is kind of stuck, and I think the heavyweight division need that.
Now, being that you you're coming off three stoppages of very good guys.
Yeah.
That means you believe in your power. But now you're fighting Francis, who is arguably the most powerful heavyweight ever. Does that change up the game plan? Or as far as you just believing in your power of knocking him out, now you're going with a guy that's knocking everybody out also. It is different strategy?
It's a challenge. And I think we have a good strategy. It's not my first time going to fight a guy like Francis. And I can't wait to dance with him. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because you possess the power, obviously, to hurt him as well. I'm sure he knows that. You're giving up 5 inches in reach. Does that concern you at all?
No.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm always obsessed with reach. Francis is just so long, and it seems like that couple inches it makes it harder for guys to get in. But so you're okay with that?
I'm great with it. So, yeah. I always fight bigger guys than me. I'm like a small heavyweight. So, yeah, I'm doing this almost now 14 years, and I always fight big guys, taller guys than me.
Your very first martial art, what was it? And how old were you?
My first martial arts, like MMA stuff?
It could be anything, traditional.
Oh, no. Well, my first time I was 17, was kickboxing.
Oh. Yeah. And you just walked past the gym, or what got your interest?
I had trouble with my friends on the football field, and they say, if you want to fight, you go there is a gym. And I walk in, and I start talking trash, and I say, who want to fight against me? And I got my ass kicked, and I was like, okay. And I go to the coach, and I say, I want to train to be that guy.
Yeah.
And then he say, if you really want to do that, you're going to come to train. And that's how it started.
When did you realize you had the power you had? Because, you know, again, certain guys like Roy Nelson spends all those years doing jiu-jitsu, and then he just realizes he can knock people out with his right. What point did you realize that you have one-punch knockout power?
My coach, he always says to me, like, you can knock people out with your hands and your leg. So, but the thing is, as a young fighter, you don't believe that. You just do what you told and what you trained, so you believe in that. I think when I was my first professional kickbox fight, I knocked a guy out in second round, also with one punch. And then I start believing in that, and we start working on it. And yeah.
How was your nerves before that very first fight of yours, amateur or kick or professional? Amateur, preferably.
I think I was nervous.
Really. Yes, yeah. A little bit?
Yeah.
How is it now in the UFC? Your very first fight in the UFC. Was there a difference? Because a lot of times, a lot of guys, even if they have a lot of fights in the smaller shows, the production of the UFC, with everybody behind, and you're on in five, and you're on in four, and everybody's running, and the lights, and the crowd, it can get two fighters. How was the difference when you got your first fight in the UFC? What did it feel like in your first fight?
In the UFC, I don't have any nerves. I was like, only one option. I have to win this fight. And yeah, in the first round, go with a struggle, go with a little bit of wrestling, get dominant. And then, yeah, the second round, find the opening and put the guy down.
You said you were 17 when you tried kickboxing. When did you first get acquainted with the ground, like jiu-jitsu?
That was 2011.
Oh, wow. And how did that happen?
I was a sparring partner of a friend in Aruba, Gregory Millard. And he had a fight. And then he asked me if I can come for 3 weeks to spar with him. I said, okay, no problem. I go. I went, and they start doing takedown defense. Uh-huh. And I was a big body. And the guy, my friend, used to fight 84 kilograms.
Smaller than you, obviously. Yeah. Yeah.
So he was using me to, you know, and then he did something, and I kind of defended myself. Then he said, hey, do it again, do it again. I said, hey, you have potential. You have to try this, try that. And that's how it go, and I kind of rolled in it. And
you enjoyed it? Did you take to it like you took to kickboxing?
Yeah, yeah. I even like MMA more than kickboxing because I work more with MMA.
Awesome.
Yeah, you see a lot of guys who just hit. Their weakness is getting kicked in the legs, or if somebody shoots for a takedown. So if you can do all of those things, and you do have big, heavy kicks, which I think is a giant advantage, especially in the heavyweight division, being able to kick like you kick.
Yeah, I can do. I'm a complete fighter. I can go anywhere. Maybe not that good as everyone, but I can save myself.
You have enough weapons where no matter what they do well, you have something that you can counter it with that they probably don't do as well.
100%.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Now, when you're fighting a guy like Overeem, you're coming off some huge knockouts, and he's a pro. I mean, you know, Alistair's fought everybody.
Former champion.
He knows how, when he's hurt, he knows how to get somebody up against a cage and get himself a breath. So what's going through your mind, like, in the first round and the second round when you're unable to put him away and you know that he's gone along in fights before and you got – wait, was it a three-round fight? It was a three-round fight, right?
Five-round fight.
So what goes through your mind, right, when you're you know, getting into round three and he's just not going down?
For me, everything went really fast in the fight. It's like pop up and it's round four. So, yeah, most in the fight was a little bit frustration, because every time I was kind of a half second too slow. So I was like, okay, let me see. Okay, let me try that. And of course, he have a game plan, so he's keep coming in with he attack his way. So I have to defend that and go attack him in my way. So, yeah, was a little bit confused. And then suddenly I got the point again for, oh, no, this is it. And my corner also keeps screaming at me, the openings, and yeah.
His legs are so deadly. His knees, you know, he's so good because he's so good at putting his knees up. And if I remember, I haven't seen the fight since it happened, but if I remember right, he was having some decent success with knees and then getting away, just fighting a really, really like the fight that you'd expect a veteran to fight against a stronger guy.
One more time, your question.
Was he hurting you with his knees because he's so powerful with his knees? What was he hurting you, and were you prepared for that?
He had his opening, but I was prepared for it. And yeah, I was, as soon as he did something, I just adjusted. And it's a fight, so I know he's going to come with his weapons. And I know Alistair, or he's there forever. And I know who he is and what he's done for the sport. So I wasn't surprised.
We had Ngannou on, not this last time, but the time before, and he was saying that there's no fights. He's waiting for a fight. And I guess in the time, you won probably two fights in that period. Did you have your eye on Francis like a little bit earlier, knowing that he's the guy you're going to have to get through if you want to fight Stipe or Cormier? So was he a guy you were looking at a little earlier on?
Yes, he is in the East. He's in the position of the perfect spot to get the title shot, and I know as soon as I get up there, he's gonna be there. So he's the guy we need to defeat to get the title shot.
And he's on an impressive run. He looked unbeatable, and then Stipe fought a brilliant fight against him, and then he had that tough fight with Derek Lewis, and then three straight knockouts. So whatever was going on with him, he's back to fighting even better than he was fighting before the loss to Stipe.
Yeah, I mean, he's there to do his thing. I'm here to do mine. So, yeah, I'm ready to go May 9, and I'm going to put him away. That's the only thing that counts for us.
Yeah, I think everybody is looking. I mean, it's the third fight. There's two championship fights as the main and co-main event. But your fight could be, obviously, was going to be a main event. That's a fight that I think everybody is looking for. When you were growing up, you said that you had like trouble on the soccer field. Was it a bad area you grew up in? Were there always fights?
It's not a bad area. It's what boys do. And yeah, I was a kind of dominant guy. I always want to dominate people. And yeah, soccer is not the way to dominate people. So I'm happy I'm fine this way. And as soon as I start doing martial arts, and yeah, learn me a lot of things, bring me a lot of places, show me really good discipline, and it helped me in life also.
Where are you from originally?
Suriname.
I'm not even sure where that is.
Suriname is close to Brazil, close to Guyana, it's in the Caribbean.
Oh, okay. So was that the first time you really you traveled out? Was because martial arts took you and kind of showed you the world?
Yeah. Because martial arts showed me the world a little bit.
Wow. All right, that's nice. Well, listen, this is a fight everybody's looking forward to. You've looked incredible in your four UFC fights. And even though Alistair was winning the fight, the fact that you came back and did that with 10 seconds left, you really there is no relaxing against you. And I think that Overeem made the mistake of just you let his guard down for 1 second and you showed how dangerous you are.
And Jimmy, may I add that some heavyweights, some powerful heavyweights, are very powerful in the very openings of or beginning rounds. Right. To do what Yosinho just did at the end of the fight with how many seconds left, the power, a face-altering power.
Yeah.
That makes it very intriguing, so I can't wait for this fight.
Me neither. I mean, you're bold, man.
That must do a lot for your confidence, too, because no matter how the fight is going, if you're still standing, you always know you have a chance. But to have knocked, to have done that to Overeem with that little time left, that's got to boost your confidence a lot. Like, you're never out of a fight.
That's true. I feel good, and I always feel confident no matter how I go in the fight. When I have to fight, I'm always ready to go, and I want to entertain you guys.
Good luck, May 9th. We have loved every fight you fought. Has been exciting. And I'm looking forward to against you, Francis Ngannou, the third fight on May the 9th in Florida. So I hope you stay healthy, and I'm looking forward to watching you.
Thank you, man. You guys stay safe out there.
Okay, nice talking to you. Take care.
Thank you, buddy.
Yosinho Rozenstruik. Yeah, really, really fun guy to watch. And it's interesting that anybody in the heavyweight division can probably knock anybody out. But when you see a guy who is that devastating with power, fighting a guy like Ngannou, who's that devastating with power, you know that Ngannou has to worry about him.
And he has to worry about him for the full. Is it 3 or 5? It's not for an inter. Is it for
this? This is a 3-round fight. That's why I wasn't sure. I forgot that the Overeem was the main event. This is a 3-round fight. And then Cruz and Cejudo. So,
there's guys that are powerful, but they do fade. They do fade. The power fades just a little bit. He's shown that it doesn't. So he's dangerous from bell to bell. So. I don't know if that's going bell to bell. I don't want to jinx it, though. I'm just saying. I'm not going to.
You never know. Sometimes these fights.
I know.
Francis against Derek Lewis. Everyone expected to be a slugfest.
Can I just add that since then, you've seen a different mentality no matter who he fought. And he took out two former champions since then.
Yeah.
In JDS and Cain Velasquez. So, and he did it with the same mentality. That he fought Alistair Overeem back before he fought Lewis. So, yeah. You know, I think his mentality is fantastic. And obviously, Yarzinho, I'm not killing the name. I'm doing it right, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yarzinho. Yeah,
his mentalities, he just put away his last three guys. So, man, I'm excited. There's no way that fight's going to be boring. If so, point come back and point to this and say, Matt, you're an idiot. You don't have to do that.
No, I would never. You know. But I'm also expecting it to be it's almost like whoever gets off first, like whoever lands the first couple of shots first, you know, no matter how good your chin is, it's going to be hard to take two or three shots from Ngannou. And I think it's going to be hard to take two or three shots from Rozenstruik. So whoever gets through first, that's why the reach. I know I seem obsessed with reach, but with a guy like Francis, I mean, that 5 inches is a tremendous amount of ground to cover.
I know, but timing is crucial, and there's a ways as a guy 5'6" who used to fight at welterweight. There's ways to come in behind your jab with a double, triple jab, and there's timing the way in where you can outstrike a guy. Obviously, that's got longer reach. So,
and Cormier, by the way, Cormier is a master at that, getting in and covering ground because he's usually never the biggest guy in the ring.
I'm always so intrigued of not of what these fighters, what's their first discipline or what they started with.
Right.
And also why, the reasoning why. Like some people got bullied or some of them were just, sure. Like we talked to Charles Roser and he just wanted to try boxing. Then he walked into Charles McCarthy, who's, I don't think, ever threw punches standing up. He just fucking takes guys down and strangles them. So it's just so funny. Now he's one of the most dangerous guys with his jiu-jitsu. So it's just so funny when you first see when they start. Oh, it's interesting. I find it very interesting.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. And I think that I'm always interested in what they were like growing up, too. Like what drove, you know, because so many of them, like I think the first time I remember hearing that was from Rampage. I interviewed years ago. And he was just talking about, like, you know, guys kicking his ass when he was younger. It might have been someone in the family. And these guys all have these things that so many of us have, but they just want to do something about it and they become fighters.
I kept confusing the whole getting smoke and getting shade and all that kind of stuff.
I didn't notice.
You didn't notice?
I'm fucking older than you. I don't know.
So you know, now you know what it is? I took a picture, but I took a picture of half the thing, so I can't even do it. Okay, oh, here we go. And this is from Headquarters 75. This is the guy that is on Instagram. He wrote me. He goes, okay, Oz. Okay, so when you and your buddies are walking down the street and someone gets in a dispute and you tell the other guy, bro, you definitely don't want that smoke. You got that, Jimmy? This is important. You understand? Hey, buddy, you don't want that smoke. You got that?
Like there's going to be so much violence that there's going to be smoke on you? Oh, what a shit expression.
You're walking down the street and someone gets in a dispute and you tell the other guy, bro, you don't want that. You don't, definitely don't want that smoke.
You don't want that smoke.
It's like an old saying, you don't want this heat. You understand?
Yeah,
this
I never said that either.
Well, Headquarters is telling me what's going on. So thank you, Headquarters. I got
you know what thing. I would say? I would what? Say, confronted, I would say, do me a favor, sir. Please don't strike me. That's what I would say.
It's very clear cut. You don't have to. It's not generational.
I don't care if you're struck.
You just want to make it clear that you don't want to get hit. So it's very. It goes through. It transcends. Everybody will know you don't want any. You don't want any heat. Beef.
I don't want smoke. I don't want your heat.
You're not throwing shade.
No. Do not smite me. Oh, yeah. Man. I don't wish to be beaten up.
Is that
Brett Okamoto, by the way, Brett Okamoto, that video, he's pretty big. He's a big guy. I didn't realize that he was a bigger guy. I guess I think I'm the only one who's involved in any peripheral way of the UFC that's in completely shit shape and literally took – just when I started kickboxing, COVID hits. Everyone else seems to be in good shape. There's not one other person in this business that couldn't strangle me, including John Anik.
John Anik runs guy. A lot. He runs. He does a lot of running, John Anik.
Yeah, I think he trains.
Let's have John Anik back on. He's fun.
I love John Anik. Yeah.
John Anik's a very fun guy. I like him a lot. I'd like to talk to him again. What's up, Paul?
Not much, man. You know, living through a quarantine.
Yeah, how you make it? How you handling it? Like mentally, is this something that works totally against your nature, or do you work with you?
I would say it goes against me a little bit. You know, I like to be around different people and I like my job. I like being on the road. I like doing commentary and traveling, and that's all taken away with this stuff going on right now.
You know, it's fun. I'm sorry, Jimmy. It's about like balance, right? Because you love your family, but it's like the balance of even me just going out to my schools and coming back, me hanging out with Jimmy coming back. It's all about balance. It's like passing the guard. Is that what's going on? Are you getting stir crazy, Paul?
I'm getting a little stir crazy. I just got a dog actually last week. So he's helped out with kind of keeping me busy, keeping me taking walks, going outside. I have something else other than my, you know, I have my daughter obviously too, but this guy's almost more of a pain in the butt to take care of than a 5-year-old girl.
What do you get?
They said he's a pit, but he looks like he's got might have something else that's a little bigger. Let me see if I can flip this around here and show you guys this. Well, I'll just show you. I'm here. If you can see
it. Oh, it's like Petey from the Little Rascals.
Yeah, and he's got some spots. It looks like a cow on certain parts of his body. He's huge. He's 86 pounds.
Man. Oh, my God. Wait, he's a rescue?
Yeah. I rescued him last week. We went we went there just to look. And he wasn't even that friendly at first. He was kind of like ignoring us. He was kind of being like a dick. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm not going to save you then. You know what I mean? I came here to help you out. And then he sat in his crate afterwards, you know, in the rescue spot, and he just started hitting us with the like, you know, I'm about to cry eyes. And yeah, I was like, screw it, I'll take a risk. And as soon as we got him home, man, he was just a big, huge baby. I mean, he's just happy to be out of there.
How is he around your daughter and everything? And how are you with that? Like, I mean, because I'm very like, I'm like a worrywart with my kids.
Yeah.
Because, you know, animals, and I grew up with dogs, always with two dogs in the house. So I'm an animal person, but I don't know, man. I just get really, really paranoid, you know, as being a father.
Yeah.
How do you get that? How do you get them acquainted and stuff?
Well, she went with me. So she was there the whole time. He came right up to her before he came up to anybody else, licked her in the face, and then just didn't even bother with her. So I was like, okay, he's not. And he, you know, the place he was before had kids, and the kids were great with him, but he got into a fight with the dog that was already there. So there was already an older dog who lived at the house. They adopted him, brought him home. It worked out for a while. And then they got into a scuffle over whether it was food or a toy they were both playing with. And he didn't start it, but he's a big guy. So they both got roughed up. He's got scars all over his face. He's got, you know, marks on his legs and things like that. So whatever happened, they got after it. That's for sure. They're both okay. Both dogs are okay. But he got the, you know, the bad end of the stick because he was just the new guy brought in, and he's obviously a pit. So anybody that sees that's going to be like, oh God, I got to get rid. But I'm telling you, man, he doesn't have a care in the world when I see other dogs on the street, unless it's a big monster who's coming at him. Then he's like, you know, I got to watch myself. But other little dogs, he doesn't care.
Are you a good dog owner? Like, I've never owned a dog before. So I think to get an 86-pound pit bull that's previously owned, you probably should, like, have you had dogs your whole life? Are you good with them?
I've had dogs my whole life growing up. My family has always had dogs, but this is my first venture into deciding to have one on my own. And it's going to, you know, it's tough with the amount that I travel, but right now that's all slowed down, that at least I can get him kind of acquainted to everything. Then if things start to pick back up with commentary and work and maybe a fight, that'll be so far down the line. He'll be comfortable here and we'll have that all figured out. But, yeah, just one of the dog.
Do you also like the idea of being able to leave him home with your family when you're gone as a form of protection in a way, too? Like, if you're on the road and you're not there, I mean, that's a hell of
nobody, protector. Even though he's not an aggressive, they don't know that. You see an 86-pound pit, and you're going to be like, okay, I'm next house.
Yeah.
Next house. I'm not risking it, you know? So, yeah, it does. It makes me like, all right, nothing's happening to my stuff or my people while I'm on the road. You know, if somebody comes in here, I trust that if he didn't trust him, he'd be sinking some teeth if he had to.
Did that Anthony Smith story get to you a little bit? Like that? I mean, that's a scary story.
Craziness. I mean, that's not any of the reasons on why I picked this guy up. But yeah, man, like, you know, especially when people are fighting for their lives in that kind of situation, imagine in front of your family. That's wild, man. And he had just put the guns in a different place or something like that. I don't even have any. So I don't even have that. That option. I don't have a gun.
Wait, he put them in a different place and what, couldn't get to it? Is that what it is?
Yeah, he said he's normally got them ready to go in like a place that he knows about, but I think he had just cleaned them, or he was like, he did something different and had them locked up, you know, where it would take some time for him to go and get them. And that guy was already in the house. So he didn't really, he said something about his guns, but anyway, yeah, scary situation.
Yeah.
Paul, listen now. Jimmy was saying earlier about you making a total 180 after your decision in the cage after your last fight. And let me tell you, because I know what it's like fighting before I had kids, and then after I had kids, because I had a few fights after I had kids. So I know the emotion. It's the fight is emotional as it is. But, oh, man, is it different, especially if you've been away from. So I knew exactly how you felt. Tell us the feeling, because I know you went through it before, but tell us, was that an on-the-moment decision right there? Like, hey, man, you're doing that on the fly or just your gut feeling? What? The fight ends, super close fight.
Really close. Yeah.
Yes.
So for me, it was something I personally had run through my mind a few times. Coming up to that fight, that if this one doesn't work out, and I knew somewhere in there that there's a chance, depending on how it went. If I had gotten knocked out, I was done right then and there. I was walking away from this sport. Like if Hooker had put me to sleep, I'm done, because that was the, you know, that would have been the bad fight I need to say, stay home with my daughter. But since it was so close and, you know, I thought I did enough, but, you know, it's one of those fights you can't do anything about it. It still felt like it slowed down my momentum. And I always kept telling myself and telling my family, the only reason I'm still doing this is to become champion, to be the best. And when you lose a fight like that, you know how it's like, oh man, well now what? So for a split second, yeah, I thought, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I can't be away for 8 weeks at a time, not see my daughter, not see my family, and come all the way around the world. And then, you know, lose a decision. And I'm not arguing it. You just, do I think I won? Yeah, of course. I'm a fighter. I'm in there. I always think I won. But anybody out there, you know, I don't want to make it seem like I'm being a baby about it either. Like, Hooker did his job. He fought a great fight. You know, that had nothing to do with it. What had to do with it is, like you guys are saying, just the stress of being away. And then, you know, that doesn't guarantee you a win. You know what I mean? It could have been worse, too. I could have went all the way to New Zealand, around the world, and gotten slept in 30 seconds. Thank God that didn't happen. You know,
that's never happened. I mean, this is the amazing thing about you. You lost five fights. Three were by split decision. One was by decision. One was a doctor stoppage. Like you've never quit. I mean, three split decisions means that you were, you know, this close that you could easily only have two losses on your record.
Crazy,
you know,
right?
And that's not being a baby. That's just, you know, those are close fights.
Them's the facts.
Yeah.
Them's the facts. Yeah. I mean, those three fights go my way. Who knows though, right? I mean, what position does that put me in? Let's say I don't lose that Ross Pearson fight, then I don't change things that maybe needed to be changed. So I always look at them as, you know, things that needed to happen. And the Mike Perry fight, I don't think I won that fight. You know what I mean? It was a great fight. The fact that I was able to do as well as I did with a broken arm is something I still hang my hat on and I'm very proud of. But, you know, I thought he did enough to get that win. This last one, you know, that was another one. Edson, shit, that could have been another one that didn't go my way. I mean, I've been in a lot of really tight fights with some guys at the top of this division. And, you know, in retrospect and looking back, I still feel like I've got some fight left. I don't know when at this point. This kind of slows everything down for all of us. But hopefully we can get back to where this is safer to be fighting throughout all this stuff. And I'll wait till then. You know, I don't want to rush right back into it until the UFC kind of figures out how we're going to do this stuff. But I'm glad we're doing it. I'm glad we're fighting, at least trying to. Hopefully, we're a couple weeks away, so hopefully May 9th actually goes down and we have something to watch that is not pre-recorded.
Yeah, and apparently Anik is a little anxious to be calling Dominic Cruz's fight against Cejudo. Have you experienced that at all, where you've had to call a fight of somebody where you're like, this is a rough
man.
One?
Oh, man, so many times. I've called Anthony Pettis's, Donald Cerrone's fights before. Now they're fighting each other. I've called Gerald Merschart's, Jared Gordon. I've seen him, you know, lose a really tough fight that he was winning. And I've also saw him, you know, he was put into that what's that move called, Matt? The stretch move, the knee bar looking thing that everybody's hitting nowadays.
I don't fucking know the
something
name.
Something stretch, right?
Yes, I forget all the funky names.
But he was
they come up
that.
With a different name every week with these moves.
I know, they're getting fancy with them. It's you know. But yeah, I've seen a lot of fighters go through a lot. I've seen Anthony pop his rib out when he's fighting Poirier and was all, you know, they're all both bloody. So yeah, I've had to call some teammates and friends fights, and it sucks, man.
Is it just hard to walk away when you're just doing so well? I mean, this last fight very well could have went to you, like we talked about. Yeah. And then just you beat another two studs. You beat James Vick and Edson.
Yeah,
two of them thinking of
Oliveira.
Yeah, exactly. And you're not slowing down, so it's like it's not like, all right, man. Well, I took a beating in this one, and all right, maybe now, like you said, if you would have got finished, then you know, all right,
makes it easy.
That's something. I'm done. So you're not. You're walking out not unscathed. You might have to get a stitch or two, or maybe, but. You're looking good afterwards. I mean, all right.
Takes me a few days, but yeah, my face heals up pretty quick. But I looked like Frankenstein after that one.
Yeah, but you're not getting concussed. Your brain's still there. You're still gonna be able to do the commentary. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm not being separated from consciousness, as they like to say. You know, I'm still. Yeah. I'm just taking some flesh wounds. Some flesh wounds, guys.
And it's kind of strange as a fighter. Like some, but guys don't understand when. Sometimes you almost need to get. to get beat down or something, right? I don't know. To walk away, it's hard to walk away, not even on the top, but just you're not slowing down. You're looking great. And, I mean, you're one of those guys that gets better as the fight goes on, too. You adapt in there, which that's very that's a very good attribute. You adapt within a fight, and you keep coming forward. Let me ask you something. Is it just your will not to stop and you go forward, or is you have a very high threshold of pain?
I think that might be a collaboration of the two of those, a combination, because I've always been that guy, even in the sparring room, man. If you catch me with something good, I just want to get you back so bad. You know, it's been what drives me for a long time. Even in an argument with a friend, a girlfriend, it doesn't matter. I feel like I have to kind of fight my way back and win. And that's just how I am. I hate feeling like you got me. You know what I mean? If you got me, I want to fucking hurt you even more, which is something I've had to slow down, which is where Duke really came into play for me, because I was fighting with just pretty much a lot of balls and toughness for a long time in my career, and I did pretty well with it. But now I feel like I got a little bit more strategy behind it as well.
You, now, this might have nothing to do with it. You used to act, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Is that help your Does that help your poker face in there, or is that the stupidest question you ever? Come on, man! You have a great poker face. You were getting hit.
Yeah.
With some bad kicks. Jimmy, you ever see Edson Barboza kick somebody? There's guys that like they look like they stepped on lava. They're like, I'll tell you, Paul doesn't wince. What the hell is that, man? Is that just stubbornness? Letting them show that you got hurt?
Yeah.
Or is that
it's stubbornness?
You channeling your inner fucking Hamlet.
You don't want to give them the satisfaction.
No, trust me. There's no acting involved when it comes to that. All the stuff beforehand, maybe hyping the fight, talking about it, the face-offs, you know, media day, acting really comes into play for all that. Even backstage, preparing to go out there and, like, getting your mind right for what you got to do. That a lot of things I learned through the years of when I was performing apply, but it's still such a different friggin' beast. I mean, you know, Matt, you're going, the shit that runs through our head. Exactly, but it doesn't matter. I don't care who you are. When you're backstage about to make that, now that is where it helps me, right? The fact that I know I'm going out to put on a show, even though it's a show of, you know, athletics and violence, it still helps me know that it's all theater. I mean, it is theater. That's what the UFC is. There's a stage. It's the octagon. There's a crowd. There are people involved. There's directors. There's producers in the booth. It's all the same thing.
Paul, there's no fucking script. I'll tell you that much.
There's no script, but every play doesn't have a script either. There's improv out there. There's things that are made up on the fly. There's just a rough, even movies and films have been, there's a rough concept. There's an idea. We know what we're talking about, but we don't know how it's going to go down or what's going to be said. And that's what fighting is.
It's a very loose script. Like
you know, you
do certain things, you know, there's certain things you can't do. Yeah. So you kind of have to stay within the bounds of a very loose script.
Yeah, and you know when the fight's going to start. You know when if it's either over this way or that way, and there's going to be another fight after. And we've got a time frame. We've got a schedule. You got to, you know, so the more you look at it, it actually helps you if you look at it like that instead of, you know, the violence that you're about to go into. But once you're in there, man, it's, you know. It's instincts for sure.
Do you ever think like when you're about to walk out, like if I have two shows in a night and I'm feeling fucked up, I look at the clock and I'm like, okay, in 12 hours, this whole thing will be over. In 24 hours, this will be, do you ever look at the clock and go like, all right, I got to fight in an hour. So at least in 90 minutes, no matter what, this will be over.
Yeah. And then when it's over, you're like, fuck, it's over. I wish I would have taken it in more. I wish I would have lived through that a little more, you know, especially once we do finally retire. Like, God, I wish I'd have just savored it a little more. That's one thing I feel like I'm pretty good about, especially that last fight in New Zealand. I told myself that a lot. I was like, don't just wait for it to be over, kind of how you're talking. And I have definitely been there. We're like, shit, I'm fighting in like 3 hours and this shit it's done. Win, lose, or draw, this shit, I don't have to stress about this anymore,
right?
No matter what happens. And then afterwards, you know, you're relishing in every moment of what went down.
How long into the fight did it take before you're not like, whatever feelings you have before you fight, like once it starts, then you just lock in? Or how long does it take before you go to like, all right, this is going to happen to, is it just the beginning of the fight or is it the first punch?
As soon as the fight, as soon as you actually start fighting, as soon as the ref looks at you, looks at him, or vice versa, whichever way he does it, and you go, everything shuts off for me. I'm not nervous anymore. Now I'm fighting you, you know, I have a goal. I'm trying to fuck you up. You know what I mean? That's it. And not get taken out. And I'm listening to my coaches. There's things that are keeping me focused. Whereas everything beforehand is just, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if, you know, I slip on the first punch I throw and I go to get up and I get choked out? You know, there's so many variables that drive you crazy. At least when the fight starts, there's nothing else other than to respond to what's going on.
What is something you had? Sorry, Matt. What is something you've had? Like, you know, there's a, I don't know if you ever saw When We Were Kings with Ali and Foreman, where he says, like, this nightmare is here. And it was Foreman and it's happening. Is there anything you've had in your career, whether it was Barboza's kicks or something that one of the fighters was going to do that, like, you were dreading a little bit? And then once it happened, you're like, okay, here it is. It hurts as much as I thought, or it's not. What was something that happened like that for you that you dreaded a little bit, and then when it happened, you're like, okay, this is the nightmare I was worried about?
Yeah, probably one of the ones I was most worried about was Charles Oliveira's jiu-jitsu. I just know he's such a finisher. He's so slick on the ground. And almost immediately in that fight, we came out, we touched each other a little bit with some punches. He threw a couple leg kicks. And the next thing I know, I am not only on my back, he's transitioning. He's got my neck and he's looking for a finish, and I'm in the Darce choke and I'm hearing myself gargle almost a minute into the freaking fight. And I remember thinking, here we go. This is it. You're done. And I remember saying to myself, you're done. And then I remember saying, all right, well, do this, do that. And the next thing I know, I'm still there. And I'm like, all right, well, we'll just, you know, you're going to tap. Let's tap. Like, this sucks. And then you tell yourself, no, don't tap. And this is all within 20 seconds, 10 seconds.
Yeah.
The conversations you've had. I thought about my dad. I thought about this. I thought about going to sleep. Am I going to, you know, shit my pants here when he puts me to sleep? And the next thing I know, I'm out of it. And I'm elbowing him in the head, you know, and it's just, but that was one of the ones where I was like, God damn it. This is what I was worried about. And he's good. It sucks. Yeah. I can't move. He's every time I fight this, he's on that. He's transitioning. So that was one of the more intimidating moments I've been in the UFC, where a guy is in his wheelhouse performing well.
And it's as bad as you thought it would be.
And it's as bad as I thought it would be.
Oh, no. Perseverance. Jimmy, that's one of those when you're watching it and you're going, all right, now it's done. Oh, now it's over. Oh, he's got it. And then when they get out, you jump up. I remember that, because then he went from he got into a mounted guillotine, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
he
had me
guillotine. Like, now I go fucking now, and it's under the chin. Yeah. Holy shit, Paul!
Well, then he had me in that Darce anaconda. He was going back and forth with that, and in the moment, for some reason, I went to like think I was going to peel his leg off. I gave him my leg, so now he's got my leg, and he's folding me in half with the choke. And he's got these long, wiry arms. And I remember thinking, you idiot. Like, and I finally kicked my leg out of it. And I was able to roll out. And he took my back the same way he took, I forget the guy's name. But he choked him out with a standing rear naked choke. And I was in a standing rear naked choke. But I was able to pull his arm over my head and, like, throw him to the mat. And that was kind of when the tables turned. And he was so tired because he put about 5 chokes on me in a few minutes. And I'm a big guy in there at 55. I'm much bigger than Charles was. So I was able to use that to my advantage, thank God.
Yeah, you're his last loss, too. All of his last loss was to you.
Yeah, trying to keep it that way.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com. TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
So you get back. So now you get to quarantine, and then you're like, all right, look at my last fight. Look what I've been doing. What am I thinking? I got a little emotional. I got a lot of family time now built up, overflowing. Let me get back in the cage. Yeah. Is that what goes through your head?
There's a lot of that for sure, right? Because you didn't expect, you know, when I'm thinking retirement, I'm thinking I'm going to go back. I'm going to start being on the road again. I'm not going to see my family as much. It's going to be stressful enough with just commentary, which makes me think, okay, well, at least if I'm just doing that, I'll have time to see that. And then everything gets shut down. And it's been, you know, 8 weeks, 9 weeks where I've pretty much just been home the whole time and spending nothing but time with the family. So now I'm like, well, I could go away for at least one more. You know what I mean? I put in the overtime here at home. Right. So we'll see, though. It really depends on timing and how this all plans out because, you know, I'm going to be busy with commentary now. Once we get going, if Dana gets this ball rolling, I'm going to be working these shows because I will be in – I'm scheduled to go to Florida if things go down. So not for May 9th, but, you know, we got two more shows after that. They need – commentary, they need desk work, so I'll be finding out what's going to happen.
What do you think happens? Oh, sorry, Matt. Your division is so good, and obviously Gaethje is such an interesting choice to fight Ferguson. Nobody is disappointed about that. I mean, you know, to see those two go at it, I think that's almost as interesting as him against Habib. What do you think happens in this fight? And yeah, I know they're hard to predict.
No, they're so hard to predict, man. You know, I like Gaethje's chances a lot more now that he's had a little more time to prepare. Right. And he just goes out on his shield so much that I think he's either going to, you know, like he even said, he's like, if I don't go in there and get a knockout or finish him, he doesn't see himself getting his hand raised. And you got to appreciate a guy like that knows that his style is you're either taking me out or I'm taking you out. He doesn't want it to be a decision. He's going to go at you until you either catch him or he catches you. But as far as predictions, you know, I have no freaking clue. You know,
Didn't he say that when he came in, I think he was like 14 or 15 when he came in, didn't Gaethje go like, yeah, no, I know my style lends itself to being knocked out and it's probably going to happen eventually. He said something like, yeah, I'm sure that will happen.
100%. He kept saying he's waiting to meet his equal. Yeah. And, you know, and he found that in the UFC, which is why he wanted to come over here and why he wanted to compete. You know, not just in these other organizations. He wanted to come here so that he could do that and then rise up like he has again. You know what I mean? He took his losses. He found the guys that were just as good as him, and he worked on the things he needed to work on. And now he's, you know, fighting for an interim belt and potentially fighting for the lightweight title. So, you know, everybody kind of comes at me. A lot of his fans come at me hating on me because I've called him out over the years and I've said some things about him. But I always back it up with saying, anything I say about Justin or Tony is out of complete respect. And, you know, I recognize their skills. So, you know, people give me shit, but it is what it is, guys. I want to fight the guys that are the best. And those two guys are those guys. Same with Connor. The same with, you know, any of these guys. Yep. Of course I want to fight them. Yes. Of course I'm going to say things about them, guys. What do you expect us to do if we're all in the same division together? I'm not going to sit back and keep quiet, you know. Otherwise, I might as well just retire.
Fuck that, man. You have enough friends. You could use some enemies, both.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Man.
That's a true statement right there. We got enough people in our lives. You don't need Twitter to love you.
Man, Duke, Jared, Bilal, you're set, man. What else you need? Yeah.
I did that. That's all you needed for hilarity. At least that's all I need is my Rufus Sport guys and some of the guys I have in here in Philly. Between them, the text message groups that I'm in on a daily basis keep me laughing my ass off.
I don't need one other friend. I don't give a shit. Oh, I got my Jimmy. I got my family. Let me ask you, after this fight with Tony and Justin, I am intrigued with a fight between – everybody talks about Tony versus Habib, and obviously I want to see that. Yeah. Everybody wants to see that. What about Justin versus Habib? Justin, who's fucking – who keeps the guy down unless he wants to be down, work, and relax in his guard in a fight once I saw her, and then he gets back up when he wants. Who can keep the guy down? He's devastating with his power standing up. Endurance is top-notch. Kicks, I would love to see him. If he beats Tony, that would set him up with a fight with Habib. How would you see that fight going?
I think that's even more intriguing because of the wrestling background that Justin just, he uses it purely for defense, right? So I know Habib is an absolute monster when it comes to grappling, but I want to see somebody really that is as good of a grappler as Habib try to take down Justin and to see if he can neutralize that and keep it on his feet. That's a real bad fight for Habib. And I'm not saying to all those guys out there who are going to come at us now either, you know, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm not saying Khabib can't take him down, but that intrigues me because Justin has such a solid wrestling background that we barely even get to see. Imagine if he really did tap into that. Imagine if he was taking guys down, putting them on their backs, and using that power that he has to ground and pound. We're only seeing a portion of what that guy's actually capable of. That's how mentally crazy and strong he is.
Yeah.
That he's like, nah, I'm here because I like to fight now. He's like, I wrestled back in college and high school. I don't need to do that anymore. I just want to punch people in the face and kick their legs off.
Well, Conor, I mean, did better on the ground against Habib than people thought he would. He lasted longer than people. A lot of people thought Conor was going to get tapped in the first round, and he wound up going into the fourth. So, I mean, I thought that his defense was better than people expected.
Yeah, I feel like he's a better grappler than he gets some credit for. Yeah. You know, he's gotten caught by Diaz, and he's had some issues in the past. But if you really watch him, he swept Diaz at one point in, I think, their first or second fight. He's had some moments of, you know, he seems like a legit jiu-jitsu guy under Kavanaugh, but Habib's just a relentless animal. You know, a lot of guys would have given up on certain takedowns or positions on the ground. He doesn't stop, right? I would have been like, all right, well, shit, I can't keep this guy on his back. He's going to stay up for a while. He's like, no, I'm just going to do it until I die.
Yeah.
And also, he's shown to have power in his hands. I think Habib has some heavy hands. He's
getting better with it. Yeah, they're getting better. And I've said that before too, that you see he's working on his boxing. He stood that one round with Conor and he might have not won it, but he did that to prove a point and then was able to get the takedown in the round that he won it. So he's a smart guy, man. He's a very, very technical martial artist out there. He doesn't do things that are just for show. He doesn't go out there and try to appease anybody. He implements his game plan and gets the win. And you know, he's got a huge following. It's nice to see somebody that doesn't really talk a lot of trash, just defends himself and does his thing, you know, and goes out there and fights an MMA fight, and people love him. It's nice to see.
Well, Paul, I got to be honest. We're really happy that you've changed your mind about retiring. Yes. Really happy. I mean, you're a great announcer, and I like listening to you and calling fights. You're great at it. But, you know, I would like to see a couple more Paul Felder fights. There's guys in that division I'll never rest until you and I acquit the fight. I'm still fucking hurt about that one getting...
Don't make it weird for me right now, please.
That's just, as a fan, that's just too fucking...
That's another guy that, you know, I have nothing but respect for. Al knows that, too. I see him on the road when we were functioning as an organization and this stuff wasn't going on. We see each other all the time. We see each other at Ring of Combat, CFFC shows. I mean, it's, you know, two East Coast guys that have very similar mindsets. So
yeah.
I just wish I was good at selling real estate like he is. That would be sweet right now. Once this is done, people are going to want to buy stuff.
Well, it's always good talking to you, man. And, you know, I'm again, congratulations on the dog. And I hope to see you again soon, buddy. Really.
Yeah, Paul.
Thank you, guys. Yeah,
thanks, man.
I'm glad I got this one in. And hopefully you guys stay safe and keep their minds occupied. I know this is stressful
weird
times.
Yeah.
Strange times, man. We'll get through it, bro.
Yep, yes, sir. We will.
All right, Paul. All right, be good, buddy.
The great thank Paul you, guys. Felder. Take care.
Take care, man.
Thanks, buddy. Take care,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that really is great news. His decision to maybe fight again is maybe really happy because he's one of those guys like Justin. You never don't want to watch him fight. His fights never suck. He's always in it until the last second. And again, 3 out of 5 losses are split decisions.
People bitching about the quarantine. If it wasn't for the quarantine, maybe we would not have seen Paul Felder fight again.
That's right.
All right. Right. We got to get something good out of something horrendous.
Well, look, Matt, here's some good news. Before we go, it's April 27th.
Yes.
Hey, 12 days or whatever it is until the fight. So a week from this Saturday, we got fights. So we got something to look forward to.
I mean, we have that. We have Brett Okamoto's song Fight Island. Is it Fight Island or Fighter Island? I mean, we're going to listen to that. That should be played as we're closing the show. And you know, between that and my all my favorite musical artists are all UFC related now, because we know I'm a big fan of Tyrone Woodley's "I'll Beat Your Ass" and
you really are. Know,
"Falling In and Out of Love."
Even though I'm in love with you,
Jimmy.
But here's what I want to do. I want to one day have a conversation with Mrs. Sarah and ask her what she really thinks about this.
She's not a fan.
She's not a fan.
No, because you know what it is, Jimmy. She's helping the kids in the dining room. They're doing the homework online. She's getting frustrated. Three kids. She goes in there, and a dope of a husband has got the headset on, and I'm falling in and out of love. Let's murk, Kimora Savage. And then she's like, you know, really?
It's a lot.
I'm doing Common Core with the kids, and you're yelling Kimora Savage, bitches. The kids are.
It's a lot.
Jimmy, I like to have fun.
I know you do. That's good. You should.
And we had fun today.
Yes, we did. And next week, by the time we talk again, it's only 2 days from now, but we're getting closer, eking closer to the fights. Thank you to Yarzinho Rosenstrike and, of course, the great Paul Felder, who fucking – if you don't like Paul Felder – I can see if you fought Paul Felder and you don't like him. I get why you don't like him. But if you've never fought Paul Felder and you don't like him, you're just basically a dick because he's great.
Dude, listen, he's a good guy. His dog looks awesome. He's a family man. And he's as tough as they come.
Yeah.
All those guys we were talking about with Tony versus Habib and Tony versus Justin versus Habib. Felder. I'd like to see Paul Felder fight any one of them.
Connor.
I should have maybe said that when we were on air with him to make him, but I think he, you know, whatever. I'll say it now.
I thought of that. Like, I literally, as Paul was talking, there's nobody in that division. Again, I say Iaquinta just because they're both such tough guys that don't quit.
Yes.
But there's also Connor, of course. There's also Justin Gaethje against Felder. It would be a fucking amazing fight. I mean, who doesn't want to see Gaethje fight Paul Felder? Just two guys that don't stop.
Every guy we just mentioned, you could just match each one of them up, and every fight will be phenomenal.
And we will talk more on Wednesday, Matt, about these fights. I don't even want to go through how excited I am about this card. I mean, literally, I looked at the what is the prelims? The prelims are better than some main event card. Fucking Pettis and Cowboy is a prelim. Let's talk about it on Wednesday. We have a whole lot of ground to cover.
Oh, Buddy Ray Hall. I know, dude. It's amazing. He's on the prelims. I'm looking at it now, Jimmy. I cannot. Oh, dude, Verdum.
I know. Fabricio Verdum against Olenek. Yeah.
I feel like they fought before. Did they fight before?
I want to say you're right. Hold on. I'll tell you in a second.
I'm going to throw that at you at the end. But the
No. There's, I don't have to try to seem smart. I can literally look it up. That's what analysts do. And that's what
Jimmy.
They may have fought before. Let me take a look.
Sam Alvey is in the early prelims. And
Is he the first fight of the night?
Vicente Luque versus Nico Price.
They have not fought before.
Dude, this is an amazing... Dude.
They have not fought.
It's really an amazing... They have not fought, and they're both heavy grappling-based fighters. Which
that's a good, interesting fight.
Dude, there's so many good fights on this card. I cannot wait, Jimmy!
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon, Matt. Thank you again to Paul and Yarzinho, and we'll talk to you soon.
In a couple days. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye, Unfiltered Army. We really got to come up with an official goodbye of something.
All right. How about this?
I'm Jim. I'm Matt. Want to do that one again?
How about this? You say, I'm Jim.
You want me to say I'm Jim?
I'm Jim.
Say it again. Say it again.
I'm Jim.
I'm Matt.
And together we'll go, and we're unfiltered.
Let's do it right now.
Okay. Yes, I'm Jim.
I'm Matt.
And we're...
together.
Together, right.
Ready? Take three.
I'm Jim.
I'm Matt.
And together, what? I'm Jim.
I'm Matt.
And together we're
unfiltered.
It's awesome. We just lost everybody.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.